Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome back, everybody. Happy Wednesday morning on this November the 27th. Rod Peterson Joe heads into hour two. It's episode number 124. We haven't even mentioned that yet today. So we will be recognizing sports figures who've worn number 24. And some of those that have come to mind. Bob Probert, he was the first one that came to mind for me. God bless him, Bob Probert. Marshawn Lynch, who George Cortez tells me is the greatest athlete he's ever coached, ever seen. Marshawn Lynch. Kobe Bryant. Chris Chelios. Jackie Mitchell, the people remember Jackie, former Rough Rider linebacker, Champ Bailey, and former Regina Pats captain Chris Schlenker. We invite your number 24s as we roll along here in our number two. It's been a wild week in sports, of course, with the firing of Mike Babcock. The limbo of Bill Peters remains in limbo. The status of Bill Peters still in limbo with the Calgary Flames. He won't coach tonight at Buffalo. And then this morning, Jason Maas has been fired as head coach of the Edmonton Eskimos. And that has brought about our poll question today. Where do you think Jason Maas will land next? Our Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center poll. Where will he surface next? So far, 47% of you on Twitter say he thinks he's going to the BC Lions. 23% of you say he's going to the Ottawa Red Blacks. 9% say he could be Rider-bound as the next offensive coordinator if there's an opening there. 21% say other. So as we welcome Jim Hobson to the bunker, Canadian Football Hall of Famer, along with our director of officiating, Taylor Shire of Global Regina. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Good, good.
Maybe we'll start with you before we get to the Maz thing on Grey Cups, because you were there, 107th Grey Cup in Calgary. I've heard nothing but fantastic reports of the festival.
It was awesome. Of course, the weather was incredible, and we were down there on Friday for the Legends Luncheon, which was a great event, close to 1,000 at that, and we were out in the family day on Saturday with my daughter and her family, and that was great, and Ryderville, and incredible complex. It's just a great facility. And, you know, it was a good mood. Of course, without the Riders being there, it wasn't as much fun, though.
For you, yes.
Yeah, that's right.
It's funny how just yesterday, Mike Abomeshrick was in that chair, just yesterday, saying that you were grinding him hard at the Legends Luncheon for wearing a Bombers jersey.
Well, I like Mike, so I got on him a little bit and had a little fun with it. And I told him we should make him up a half and half, half Riders, half Bombers. And but, you know, he's proud of his time there, and he's also very proud of what he did in Saskatchewan. So I can't really get on him too much.
As you know, Leo Ezrin's great guy. He's the executive director of the CFL Alumni Association, and he watches this show every day. He is the steward of that Legends Luncheon. And we'll say it again. That's the one that Joe Capp and Angie Mosca got in the fight on that really brought it from the shadows to the public conscience, you know. And it's been sold out every year. You said close to 1,000 people. Every year it goes up, up, and up. I say it's the best event at Grey Cup. What do you love about it?
I love the fact that we had almost 90 alumni there, and you see guys like Bill Baker and others that you know, go back to the 60s and 70s, and then there's guys right up to John Cornish was there and all that kind of thing. It really gives the fans a chance to interact with the alumni. Just really well done, and I think next year it'll be a huge event. It'll be bigger and better in Saskatchewan, and you know, we met about that on Friday, and we're looking forward to it. So, yeah, it's turned into a heck of an event, and really enjoy it. Leo has been the driving force, and he has done a heck of a job. It's been a really good thing for the alumni.
You know, I want to get into the news of the day with both these guys about Jason Maas being fired, but we do have a lot of time here, an hour or two. And by the way, coming up, the Eskimos linebacker Don Unamba, CFL All-Star last season, will be with us. And we'll be talking about the firing of Jason Maas. But I just want to say this, Jim. Leo was wearing Ticats gear all year, but he played for the Bombers, and he's from Winnipeg. Did you stay for the game? Did you go to the game?
No, came home on
Well,
Sunday.
You usually did, too. That's not a bad thing.
If the Riders were in it, I was going to stay, but when they weren't, I came home.
So we've heard all the Winnipeg stuff, and I'm happy for Winnipeg. I assume you are?
I'm very happy for Winnipeg. I would have been happy for Hamilton, but
right.
When you look at Lapo and Richie and Wade, I know a lot of people there, and I was really happy for them.
Right. So you see it the exact same way I do. But nobody's talked about Hamilton at all week since that game. And I'll get both your opinions on this. They literally went back to Hamilton, like, with their tail between their legs. They just got brutalized by the Bombers in the game. What? How should they feel, do you think? And what do you think their future is?
I think they're really down. There's no doubt about it. They had an incredible year. They were the toast of the CFL, and they won all the awards. And I think they were cocky going into the game. I think they felt like they were a team of destiny. They've been, I think this is their third time in 6 years, so they've been knocking on the door. But Winnipeg just was hungrier. They came out, and they were fired up. And Richie had a hell of a game plan. I heard you guys talking earlier about our game against them and how we couldn't run the ball, but that was due to that defensive line. They just, and you know, Willie, I like Willie a lot, but Willie can be a little bit hot and cold, but when he's hot, there's nobody better. And the guy had a couple of sacks, a couple of forced fumbles. So they just came out and they got Hamilton on their heels early. And, you know, when they got the ball turned over and then scored, and they just weren't going to be denied. It was very emotional for them. I don't know if you saw Richie on TV, but Richie's a pretty collected, calm, cool guy. He was
overcome
with emotion, and that tells you how important it was. Now, Richie's had a tough year, you know, lost his brother and everything, but I don't know that I've ever seen Richie that emotional.
I haven't.
No.
Taylor, how should Hamilton view things this week?
Well, when I was watching the game, I don't know, 2013 flashbacks came back. It was like Winnipeg was just so determined to win, and anything they would do was going to go in their way. And Hamilton was just reeling the whole game. So it almost felt like the Riders did to Hamilton what they did to Hamilton in 2013, Winnipeg was doing this year. You know, different circumstances, but it just felt like Winnipeg was destined and determined to win that game. You could see Hamilton was frustrated. Dane Evans was going off to the sideline frustrated after every drive. And yeah, they're going to be low right now, but I agree with Jim. I think they were a little bit too cocky, but they had a first-year backup quarterback, a first-year starter, playing for Jeremiah Masoli. He's played all year, Dane Evans, but I don't think he was prepared enough for the big game in terms of the expectations and the pressure that Winnipeg threw at him. And Winnipeg was a team that's probably played their best football in the last 4 weeks. For how good of a start they had, their best football was these last 4 weeks. So Hamilton, they're going to go back to the drawing board, but they're still going to be the top. Masoli will come back next year, but I still think they'll be top of the East.
Well, I'll tell you what. We could easily do 2 hours every day for the next 6 months on CFL conjecture and coaching carousels and quarterbacks, but we're going to talk about what's hot, and we have today with the Mike Babcock thing and the Bill Peters. But, Jim, the easiest thing would be to talk about the CFL stuff because it's fun and it's right in front of us and it's easy, but a couple things have popped into my head here. One, you talk about Willie Jefferson, and we go back and forth on this when we discuss the football stuff. I think the Bombers' D-line was better than Saskatchewan's D-line. I don't think anybody would argue that they're the two best D-lines in the CFL, but when Jackson Jeffcoat's healthy and they got Willie out there, they're the best. Saskatchewan, great D-line too. Like, it's good too, but Charleston Hughes, Zach Evans, and depending what the other Canadian D-tackle is in there, Micah Johnson is good. I don't think he was great. At $250,000 a year, did he play up to being the highest paid defensive player in Saskatchewan Rough Riders history? Not even close, in my opinion. I got to put Winnipeg up front, and I was saying it all year, not just because of that they won the Grey Cup, but you're a lineman, so how would you rate the two?
I'd rate Winnipeg as a better line right now, right across the front four. They really bring it. I agree with you about Jeffcoat. He's a great player when he's healthy. We have a very good line. Our ends were, and they're in the same category. You know, I thought they played really well, but we never, you know, Zach was hurt and, you know, didn't even dress a lot towards the end of the year. And we never really had the inside pressure that Winnipeg could bring, but we were solid. There's no doubt about it. They were a strength of our team. But you made a heck of a point about 2013. It had the same feel. We went out there in 13, and we just felt like we were going to win. And even when things went wrong, it didn't rattle us. And Hamilton could never get their mojo going. And the same thing happened against the Bombers. The Bombers just came out flying and got a couple breaks, and they buried them. And, you know, Harris, say what you like about him, but he had a heck of a game.
So that's my second point. I've heard people say that, give Andrew Harris top Canadian, but Willie Jefferson, affected the game more? What was his line? Two sacks, two forced fumbles,
three sacks.
Three sacks, yeah. Two forced fumbles, like a Willie type game. Right? We've literally seen him win games all on his own. He didn't win that one all on his own, but he had a huge impact. And how do you feel about Andrew Harris being a double winner, given the season he had with the suspension? Because I'm going back and forth on this in my mind, and what I keep coming back to is I don't really care. It's not my team. I don't work in the league anymore. I can't decide how I feel about how that all played out.
Well, it really puts a black mark on his career, unfortunately, and it's not going to go away. But I think you got to look at his whole career, both in BC and Winnipeg. Guy's been a tremendous running back, and not a tremendous Canadian running back, a tremendous running back. He's a great player. And it's unfortunate that happened, but he paid a price, and he had a great game. I thought they could have split it. There's no doubt about it. Maybe there's a little bit of sympathy for Harris, given what he's been through and so on. I did think he could have been a little classier in his remarks afterwards. I understand he's very frustrated. He, like you said, a lot of haters. I'm sure he took a lot of heat. But in the end, hey, he did the job. And if Willie would have gotten in, one of the awards, I think everybody would have been fine too. But you look at Willie and you think about the great players in the CFL, and how was Willie Jefferson not in the NFL, given everything we've seen from the guy? But, it's a matter of being in the right place, the right time, with the right coach. But, when people talk about the difference in talent, we've got some talented players up here, and some of them are a little undersized. Willie's not one of them. He's a freak, but, he's just, he's so tall and the big wingspan. But, I think Winnipeg deserved it, and they'll be interesting to see what happens next year. They got three quarterbacks. None of them are signed, so which way are they going to go?
Three-headed monster.
Yeah.
You told me once, life has a way of getting you where you're supposed to go. Do you remember saying that?
Yeah, that's right.
It was about something else.
Yeah.
Do you still feel that way?
Yeah, I do.
Right.
Yeah.
So with Willie, his wife, Holly, is a must-follow on Instagram and Twitter. She's hilarious, and she's so proud of her husband, and she said, when he won Most Outstanding Defensive Player, she wrote on Twitter, she said, your life changed when you changed your environment. And some people took that to mean he left Saskatchewan, went to Winnipeg, and his life went like that. And it wasn't that. Willie's got a past, and he left that. And his life has skyrocketed since. And that's what Holly was referring to.
Yeah.
He's still not an old guy. He could get to the NFL.
Yeah, he's what, 27, 28? He's not, he's certainly got some good years ahead of him, no doubt about that.
And if an NFL team thinks he could help them, they're going to sign him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know how it works, right?
Well, look at Cameron Wake. What's he, late 30s, and he's still playing. So, yeah, if you can help them, they're going to sign you, even if it's only for a year or two. It's win now. That's the way it is down there, and it's the way it is everywhere.
I'm going to look it up right now, how old Willie Jefferson is. But, Taylor, your thoughts on the double winning for Andrew Harris, double award.
When it comes to Willie, I personally think he's going to stay in the CFL just because he's a competitor. And unless he's given a guaranteed contract or guaranteed money down there, I don't see him going. I don't see him trying out for a practice roster or a futures contract down there without getting something guaranteed. So at this point in his career, I think he realizes that, the CFL is where he can leave a legacy, make some money. But leave a lasting impression as opposed to going down to the NFL.
Not be a jag. That's what the players refer. Just a guy.
Yeah, exactly.
A jag. By the way, you nailed it, Jim. He's 28.
Yeah. So
he's won two Grey Cups, most outstanding defensive player, and the best might still be ahead.
For a defensive lineman, probably your late 20s, early 30s, or when you're at the top of your game, if he stays in shape. I agree with Taylor, though. He can make good money up here. He can have a great life. And at that age, you want to play. You're not going down to sit on a practice. At 28, 29, your time is running out, and you want to be on the field. So it'll be hard to get him out of Winnipeg, I think.
Yeah, there's been so many cases of guys going down there, defensive, offensive players, and coming back and then not picking up where they left off and just not necessarily regretting it, because I think you always appreciate the opportunity and the chance, and you always would be left with the what if. But there's a lot of guys, hindsight, would probably say, oh, I probably should have stayed up here. And even Cody Fajardo referenced that when he signed his extension. He said, I could try, but I'm not guaranteed anything, but I have a great opportunity in front of me right here. This is where I fit. This is where my game fits, and I'm going to appreciate the opportunity I have. that I know I'm going to have and stay up.
But it's a big change in the guy's mindset. Sandra's watching from Saskatoon today. Sandra Mathers-Larson, she says, Willie has tried the NFL twice already. Mm-hmm. But that's different. He didn't stick there. And for whatever reason, but we just had a guy on here yesterday, Micah Alway of the Argos, who's explaining why American CFL players never want to turn their back on the NFL or never give up on that dream. Mm-hmm. And we talked about how you could, one game in the NFL will pay you more than an entire season in the CFL. Like, let's not forget the money. We're talking about Willie Jefferson and Cody Fajardo. Easy for them to say, guys, they're well into six figures for salary too, not the young Americans. I mean, Jim, you've dealt with that for a long time. I mean, you can see why they want it so bad.
Well, the money is, you know, there's no comparison, but it's, you grow up with a dream, and, you know, if you're a football player, you're and an American, your dream is playing the NFL. Just like our kids grow up thinking they want to play in the NHL. And, you know, you can't, it's hard to lose that dream. And, but the guys that have come up and stayed, generally speaking, have forged some pretty good careers, and so many have stayed afterwards and you know, are continuing to have a good life up here.
We're going to take a timeout. We'll get to some of your questions. We'll check the poll results. Where does Jason Maas land next? He was fired this morning as head coach of the Edmonton Eskimos, and we'll look more ahead to the CFL offseason. I got a note here from our sales manager, Tyler. Deer Valley Golf Club would like us to promote their 2020 membership renewal and gift packages. You can go to their website, deervalleygolf.ca/pages, and look into their memberships. They've got gift packages there, deervalleygolf.ca/tickets. So for the golfer in your life, Deer Valley Golf and Estates is should be your number one choice. We'll be back with a sports update after this break. It's the Rod Peterson Show on a Wednesday morning. Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Hi, I'm Joshua John Batista. I'm a staff radiation oncologist at the Alan Blair Cancer Center. CT simulators are essential for all modern radiation treatments. Before a patient can undergo the treatment planning process, the CT simulator is the first step. So it allows us to plan and deliver radiation treatments for thousands of patients.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital GMC. We have over 1,000 new and used vehicles to choose from with savings up to $17,000. And for a limited time, we're offering finance rates as low as 0% on new and used vehicles. Buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the greatest auto sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bust down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's greatest auto sale.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Cheers to the 16 guys who never back down. And to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back, everybody, on a Wednesday morning, episode number 124 of the Rod Peterson Show. We had some extra 24s come in here, a couple that would warm Jim's heart. Tom Campana, you remember him wearing 24? You're a teammate with him.
Played with TC, yeah.
Bob Cossett was before your time.
But I became good friends with Bob. We still correspond. When he came back for the reunion, and he always sends me cards and so on. Yeah, Bob, heck of a DB. Yeah.
Tino Martinez and Jeff Gordon, some other 24s people recognizing today. Sports update for Seat Giant, and Wendell Clark's. Senators forward Jean-Gabriel Peugeot hopes to stay hot when Ottawa hosts the Bruins tonight. Peugeot has scored 10 times in November, ranking second behind only Connor McDavid. Flames GM Brad Treliving confirmed last night that Bill Peters won't be behind the bench when Calgary plays the host Buffalo Sabres tonight. Treliving also says that the team is continuing its investigation into allegations that Peters used racial slurs against one of his former players. The Maple Leafs will try to go 3-0 under new head coach Sheldon Keefe tonight when they play the host Detroit Red Wings. Also, the Vancouver Canucks are in Pittsburgh. The Colorado Avalanche host the Oilers. And the Winnipeg Jets on the road against San Jose. Raptors looking to stay perfect at Scotiabank Arena tonight. They host the Knicks. Toronto 7-0 at home. Canada's RJ Barrett hoping it'll be a homecoming, but his first NBA game on home soil is up in the air because of illness. The Mississauga product is listed as questionable. He was a first rounder with New York. The sports update for Seat Giant. Stop paying U.S. dollars for sporting events and concerts. We have all major sporting events and concert tickets in Canadian dollars. Enter promo code RP Show and get discounts for RP Show fans. Visit seatgiant.ca to book your tickets. And also for Wendell Clark's in Saskatoon at the corner of Idlewild and Circle Drive. See you at Wendell's. Jim Hobson here in the bunker as well as Taylor Shire. The big news in the CFL is the firing of Jason Maas this morning. And Clark has just informed me we've got Eskimos linebacker Don Unamba with us on video chat. So I'll invite these guys to put their headphones on here as we bring in Don. And I know, Don, this has been booked for a few days, so this was probably news to you this morning. You're clearly at the Eskimos facility. What's it like up there right now this morning?
Man, it's crazy. I'm actually not at the facility right now. I'm at home right now, but it's been crazy. It's kind of been a shock. I mean, you hear the rumors all the time, and you kind of just try to block that stuff out. But it's a sad day in Eskimo, man. The players enjoy playing for them, so I've been getting text messages, and we're talking about it in group chat. But, man, Moss took care of us up here, man, so it's a shock a little bit.
I apologize. When I first saw you, it looked like you were in the locker room, and now I see that it's a flag behind you, so it's all good.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned that it's a shock to the players. I think the players truly do like Jason Maas, and I know Jason. He's a good guy. When you went into the playoffs, was there any talk amongst the players that if we gotta do something here to save the coach's job, or was that even a discussion amongst the players?
No, that wasn't a discussion. We just, you know, went in trying to win a ball game or whatever. Maas was real positive the whole time. We were just focused on just trying to win the playoffs, and we had a plan. We was going to win the Grey Cup, man. That was the thing going in. It wasn't no talk about trying to win him his job. That never came up at all.
Talk about the season with the Edmonton Eskimos, if you don't mind. We were watching closely. I was calling you guys the under-the-radar team in the CFL all year long. Mm-hmm. You go 8-10 and you cross over. And then that was like you caught fire at the end. Take us through the season that you guys had up there.
Oh, man, our season was it was crazy, man. It was a little up and down. You know, we dealt with some injuries. You know, we had some key players down, including myself. Didn't plan on getting hurt the first game of the season. But, yeah, we did. We caught fire at the end at the right time. We felt like it was almost destined for us to go ahead and win it all. You know, getting into the Grey Cup, I mean, getting into the playoffs, going into Montreal, a team that was hot themselves and riding on a wave with Vernon Adams and them playing real good football. And we went in there and won. And, man, we went into, you know, Hamilton thinking we was going to do the same thing and just came up a little short in the East Final.
What didn't work in the Eastern Final? In Montreal, it seemed like everything seemed to go your way. You played a tremendous defensive scheme. But the Hamilton game didn't seem like you guys had control of that game at any point.
I mean, you know, not to discredit Hamilton, and that was a really good football team. And it was 15-3 for a reason. They made plays when they needed to make plays. They made some tough plays, some contested plays, and we didn't. You know, we had a couple turnovers at hard times. Field position was off a lot of that game. And like I say, good football team, and they made plays when it counted.
Did you watch the Grey Cup game, by the way, or did it hurt too much and you thinking that you should have been there?
It hurt, but I watched it, man. I checked it out.
What did you think about it? What's your breakdown of that game and how Winnipeg won it?
Winnipeg dominated the game defensively, man, especially with that front that they had. Willie Jefferson and Jeff Cole had some crazy games, man. It was crazy to watch. Like I said, they made plays too when it counted. They had so many turnovers, man. It's hard to win games when you have turnovers. Strip sacks, gave them good field position and scored. The interception at the, I think it was like the first or second play of the game. They had a good running game, and Hamilton seemed to have a little trouble stopping the run game, and Harris had a crazy game too as well. So, I mean, it's football, so you have to show up on every game, no matter who it is or, you know, what wave you was riding on before. Winnipeg came in a better team that day.
This is Eskimos linebacker Don Unamba with us. Don, you mentioned to our producer, Clark, that you had spent some time with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. What do you remember about that time? What was going on with this franchise at that time?
Oh, man. I think when I came in to Saskatchewan that year, they was 0-7. I got a phone call from Chamberlain, who was the head coach at the time, and he wanted me to bring in, give him some spark on special teams and, you know, come in and play. I actually played a little well linebacker that year, too. So, and it was kind of a gloomy time, man. I had been used to Saskatchewan being one of the better teams, and defensively especially. And, man, they were just going through a bad time. And right after that, I think two games after I got there, Chamberlain was released. And,
Bobby Dice came in.
Bobby Dice came in as the head coach. And, man, we were trying to, you know, get the momentum that Bobby Dice had gave us, you know, riding with him. So I think we had kind of won a couple games. And, yeah, man, it was a crazy time. Right after that season, I think that's when they brought in Chris Jones. So it was a crazy time in Saskatchewan at that time when I was in.
I'm just running through your resume here. St. Louis Rams in 2013, Bombers 2014 and 15, Riders in 2015, as you mentioned, Ticats 2017 and 18, and then the Eskimos this year. What's your contract status for next season? Do you know where you're going to be?
I don't know where I'm going to be. This was a contract year. I only signed a one-year deal here at Edmonton. We just, you know, had the news with Moss, you know, being fired, but you know, those type of things cause a domino effect sometimes. So it's up in the air right now. Obviously, we have to see some other things that go on. And, man, you just never know when stuff like this happens. I've dealt with this all my career. So, again, I'm in the situation again. So we'll just have to see what happens, man. I did enjoy my time here at Edmonton. I would like to be back. But, you know, it's not always up to me. It's some other things that go into it. So we'll just see how it plays out. It'll probably be other news made too soon.
Well, I'll just lastly ask you this again for your thoughts on Jason Moss's firing. For those that first joined us, when you found out this morning, were you shocked?
Yeah, I was shocked. Like I say, you hear rumors, and I mean, we've all seen it. You get on Twitter, you can't help but see it, and you see fans say certain things. But just the realization of it actually happening is a shock still. Jason Moss and the atmosphere and environment that he built up here and created was over the top, man. It was real family knit up here and real tight. So to actually see it go down, it really is a shock.
All right, Don, I appreciate you coming on. Anything else you want to mention before we let you go?
No, man, that's cool, man. Thanks for you to have me on here. I know we joke around on Twitter all the time, so to actually get on here on the show is kind of crazy.
Yeah, we're happy to have you. And hopefully, hey, when you sign with somebody new, come here and break the news with us. Would you do that?
I got you, man. I'll send you a tweet.
All right. Appreciate it. Thanks, Don. Don Unamba right, joining us today. I would assume from Arlington, Texas. That's what his Wikipedia page says. But as we bring back in Jim Hobson and Taylor Shire, all the players are the same, Jim, right? You realize that. When you see him talk, do you miss the guys like that? Because they're so much fun to chat to.
They're always great. And yeah. They understand, like, here's a guy that's kicked around the, you know, our league, NFL. He gets that the game has changed, and he accepts it. I was a little surprised to hear him say, though, that they didn't expect Jason to be fired. You certainly were hearing a lot of rumors all year, but, you know, that's football. So you blank that stuff out and you play your, you know, do what you got to do, huh?
You know, now this is the stuff I always like chatting with you about, and that is the business of sport. These one-year contracts, and you impart what you know. I mean, the players wanted that, right? And two CBAs ago, they wanted it. It's terrible for the teams.
I don't think it's good for the players. You know, I was part of those negotiations, and it was key to the players signing. They really wanted that. And I understand why, so that they can, you know, make the most money and, you know, and all that sort of thing. But boy, it's hard to build any kind of consistency, continuity, your marketing plans. The fact that we've got Cody under contract now for a couple of years is a big thing for the riders. I'd like to see us look at that, and even for the players, you know, you listen to, this guy's an all-star, but he's bounced, you know, from Winnipeg to Hamilton, back to, you know, Edmonton, and I think it would help them in their careers, too, if they had a little more stability and so on. So I think that's got to be really something that we address, and it's hard to market your team when, you got 10 to 20 or more turnovers every year, huh?
You mentioned being around Grey Cup. Rob Vanstone wrote in the Leader Post that Cody Fajardo was the star of all of Grey Cup, of the festival anyways. Were you able to be around him at all? Did you see him there?
Didn't see him, but I heard about him. And it's funny, I heard about him on Thursday night. I got into town late, and I jumped in one of the VIP vehicles. And the driver started, when he found out I was from Saskatchewan, started talking to me about Cody, that he had picked him up, and what a great young guy. And he just, you know, so it's interesting. Wherever he goes, he makes a very positive impression.
Well, when I mentioned Taylor, to the viewers that you cover the riders every day, do your friends and family and so forth ask you about Cody Fajardo?
All the time.
Right. Yeah. What do they ask?
Is he as nice as he seems? Because he's so genuine, whether the microphone and the cameras are right in front of him or if you're chatting with him off to the side. He's a genuinely nice guy. He's a great marketable guy for this team, and I think that's very important. And he's a guy that now Jeremy O'Day can build his offense around. The past few years, there's been no quarterback to build your offense around, and I think 33 free agents are on the list right now. Basically, the entire
defense.
Yeah, well, 10 out of the 12 defensive. Well, 9 out of the 12 now. They signed Lucas Purifoy to an extension this morning, but there's a lot of work for Jeremy O'Day to do. But the fact that he has his quarterback and his head coach, and he has a job, I think those three key pieces are ease the transition into this, what's going to be a crazy offseason with all these one-year deals. But I also wanted to talk about and touch on those one-year deals, because until there's guaranteed money and contracts in the CFL, it doesn't matter if you sign a five-year deal, because you can be let go after 1 year. So yes, there's stability with longer contracts, but there isn't, because in the CFL you can be released and not owed anything. So these one-year deals allow these guys to find new situations, maybe where they want to be, and then get money based on their performance from the year prior.
You make a great point, and that was what the players were saying. You know, we sign a multi-year deal. Well, it's good for the club, but it doesn't give us any protection, you know, beyond the first year. And so, that was key to the whole thing.
Breaking news this morning from the Rough Riders. They have signed defensive back Lucas Purifoy to a two-year extension. And that's actually an interesting note, too. So we'll talk about that more when we come back. People have said to me, why is Purifoy fit in well here, but he didn't in BC or Ottawa? Well, some people fit better in certain organizations and certain cultures. And clearly, Purifoy fits in very well with what the Rough Riders have going on here. He was the team leader in kickoff returns, had one touchdown, and also second interception. So he had an all-star season, Purifoy. By the way, Brady, watching from Saskatoon today, he texts in. He says, hey, Rod, some of the best number 24s, Marshawn Lynch, a.k.a. Beast Mode, Jeremiah Johnson, Steve Staios, Kobe Bryant. He goes on to say, I got a few questions. Since James Wilder has been released, what team in the CFL could use his services the most? And he goes on to say, the next one is, do you think Colin Kaepernick and AB will ever get an NFL contract? I feel bad to see such talent wasted. Oh, don't we all? So we'll talk about all those things when we come back. Clark has informed me that James Wilder Jr. will be on this show on Friday. So you can ask him himself. My thinking is he got out of his deal not to sign with another CFL team. Why would the Argos allow that? It's to go to the NFL. And he's good enough to be there. So we'll talk about that more when we come back. You're watching The Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Your favorite movies. Your episode after episode after episode season marathon. All in one beautiful little box.
With Max TV Stream from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer, you can experience the best of live TV and movies on demand, in home or on the go. Just $99. Entertainment your way, anyway. Get your Max TV Stream media box today for just $99. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
My name is Karen Allen. I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2007. The treatments themselves were difficult, but the care and attention that I received was phenomenal. But what if, with the advances in technology that have been made, having that better equipment would increase survival rates by 1%, maybe 2%. That's people.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
All right, welcome back, everybody. One more segment with Jim Hobson and Taylor Shire, our director of officiating, and then we're going to bring DuPont back for overtime. Hey, what did you think of officiating Taylor in the Grey Cup? Were you worried?
It was fine.
It was fine, wasn't it?
I don't remember
anything. There's nothing to bitch about right now in officiating. Yeah. We should ring the bell.
Yeah, breaking.
I thought it was cool that Andre got the game. Yeah. And I know he's not well-liked out here, but our coaches always said they loved having Andre. They thought he was one of the better ones in terms of the riders anyway. But, yeah, nobody even talked about the officiating. Not a word.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that nice?
Fine, yeah.
One thing about the CFL, you can complain all year about various things, but come playoff time in the Grey Cup, it's usually Sean for as long as I can remember, which is kind of what you want, right? That's when everybody's watching.
Good point.
Yeah, right. It's been.
Well, you have your best crews working, so you know they deserve to work that game, yeah. And they are the best crews. I mean, there was the penalty against Hamilton a couple of years ago when Banks had that kick return mm-hmm. touchdown, but it was a good call. It was probably the right call. The back shoulder block. That's the one time that the officiating was in the spotlight, but it was for, you know, a good call.
Well, and Andrew Harris getting face to face, kind of headbutting one of the tie cats early.
That's a game management call. You know.
Is that what you call it?
Yeah.
Is that what the refs call it? What is a game management call?
Just because he did something, does he deserve a penalty? However, if Lawrence did that, I would say he probably would have gotten flagged.
Yeah. Reputation. Glenn Suter said it on the broadcast. That's your one warning here. That's his one warning.
It's a warning, a game management. You don't need to, just because there's a slash in a hockey game doesn't mean you're going to call it.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you, Jim, just as a Hall of Fame sports executive, your take on the Mike Babcock situation. The firing's one thing, but then the player coming out afterwards, I'm sure you're following what happened there. And now the racial connotations with Bill Peterson, Calgary. NHL's not your thing, but it's still pro sport. How much interest are you following all this?
Well, it's interesting. I know Mike a little bit, and he's from Saskatchewan, so I'm interested to see what happens there. And everybody's talking about the difference in generations. You know, Mike's a baby boomer, and the players are millennials, and you got a coach different. And I think it's more about society, though, because it's the same in any job now, any profession. It's different than when I started work 40 years ago, and people have different expectations. And the good coaches are able to evolve and change, and somehow Belichick just keeps winning every year. And, I mean, he has this style and he has this thing, but it's unfortunate. I think I think Sutter was right, though. Mike did a good job in Toronto doing what they wanted him to do. And they always had a plan. They were going to move on. And they did. I find it interesting that the NHL has some pretty strict rules around coaches' payouts. And while he has that contract, he's only guaranteed it as long as he's not, as long as he's actively looking for work. And if he finds another job, they take away whatever he makes there. And so I think he'll land somewhere. He's too good a coach and mm-hmm. knows too much about hockey. But, you know, the bottom line is when things aren't going well, you start looking for excuses, and the Leafs got in a bit of a slump, and you know, somebody has to pay the price, and so he paid the price.
You must, I would think, daily pinch yourself for a variety of things with your era with the Rough Riders. But when we talk about coaches, let's look at yours. Danny Barrett, Ken Austin, Ken Miller, Greg Marshall, Corey Chamberlain. Varying degrees of results in all those, but all good people. You never had an issue with those guys.
No, we didn't. We didn't have any issues that way. They all had their own styles. I mean, you know, Kenny was, you know, grandpa, and everybody loved him. And Kent was so interesting because he was wonderful our 1 year with him. And then when he went to Hamilton, things seemed to change, and he didn't seem to have the same rapport with the community and the team. But yeah, they're all different. At the end of the day, it's all about winning. I mean, Greg Marshall, you said, great guy, great coach. Didn't have success with us. Got fired. I mean, it's a great game in a really crappy business.
Really crappy business, yeah. I feel when I said we could do 2 hours a day on coaching and quarterback stuff, there's no doubt. For the next 6 months in the CFL, Justin Hagley's written in a few times today and says, hey, Rod, do you think that we could see a head coaching trade this offseason if O'Shea doesn't sign his contract with Winnipeg? Let's just say, hypothetically, rumors are true that he wants to go closer to home, which would be Toronto, and reunite with a good friend of his. Wouldn't it hurt Corey Chamberlain? I think he'd be in a better situation, and O'Shea would get what he wanted. So that's the rumor. That's the first I heard of that particular rumor. But in the time we have left with these two guys, let's examine that for a second. For one, if O'Shea wants to leave Winnipeg, having won a Grey Cup, it's not unheard of. Barry Trotz did it with the Washington Capitals a couple years ago. Won a cup, went to the Islanders the next year. It's not unheard of.
Ken Austin,
yeah.
Yeah, it's not unheard of. So would he leave Winnipeg with their blessing? You'd have to ask Winnipeg people that, but I would think now, if he wanted to leave, wouldn't you say go ahead?
Yeah.
Or not?
I think you got to respect what he wants to do. He's given him his best for several years, and that team wasn't very good, you know, when he got there, and they stayed the course. I got to give the GM and the president credit for that. But in the end, Mike's going to do what Mike thinks best for himself and his career. I think he likes it there. They obviously have offered him a contract. They want him back, but yeah, it's that crazy business, and it'll be hard for him to leave, though, because that is his team, his coaching staff, his players, his community now. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with him.
Chris Jones left Edmonton after a Grey Cup and brought his whole staff here. Right?
I don't think you'll ever see that again.
No.
But continue.
but just a couple of comments on the Facebook wall. But based on the coaching cap, I don't know if you can do that anymore.
Oh, my goodness.
That's a whole other thing.
That's another 2 hours. But the concept of trading,
well,
Mike O'Shea for Corey Chamberlain, while interesting, you really couldn't, because O'Shea doesn't have a contract next season anyways.
You would never see a trade. You could see a swap, and it might work out over the same couple of weeks.
Yeah, but this is what I think. I mean, Justin's clearly a big fan, but I'm not sure how far he's investigated this, because you got Paul Lapolis as an offensive coordinator. You got Richie Hall as a defensive coordinator. Corey Chamberlain's already fired Richie once. I'm pretty sure Richie's over it, because Richie's that kind of guy. He doesn't hold on to things. But, Jim, it's far deeper than just head coach for head coach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, the personalities of the coaching staff that are going to be, there's going to be some of the coaching staff that are there. And then they'll bring in some new ones. So you're right about Richie and Corey. I can't see that. Corey was the one that got rid of Richie. And obviously, Richie's too good a person to ever let, you know, that be a problem. But, you know, there's so many things that go into it. Where Moss lands, I think probably Ottawa's maybe his best bet, mm-hmm. because he had success there and they like him and he knows the GM and all that kind of thing. But, yeah, it's really interesting as you watch this play out. And the GMs will have the biggest say in all of it, of course, but some owners will weigh in, and, you know, and all that kind of thing.
Well, you've sat on these committees at the league level, and I'll try to get you out of here right after this, but where do you sit on the coach's salary cap and the staff limitation? Because it seemed like they weren't going to fire any coaches because they were handcuffed in it. And then BC fires Clay Brooks at the end of the season. Edmonton's now done it with Jason Maas. How much do you know about that cap? It seems to me that the league will look the other way on certain things if it's what's best for that team.
I had a discussion with a CFL club president at Grey Cup, and we talked about that, and he said that they got to look at that because it's going to hamper teams putting together any kind of a successful group because, you know, Corey's still got, you know, a couple years. I understand why they put it in place, but the ramifications are a lot different than with players who are on the one-year contracts. And you sign a guy for 3 years, then you got to pay out two, and you got to carry that forward. So how do you afford to hire your next coach? And so you're going to see coaching staff shrink in size as they try and get under the cap, and are they hiring the best people? So I think it's something they got to get their head around. And I like what the NHL does, this whole idea, though, that you mitigate the you don't just get to collect your paycheck and, you know, take off for 2 years. You're going to have to find work if you can and try and mitigate some of those costs. But yeah, it's another one of the many challenges we have in the CFL.
Can we bring you back and do this again?
Absolutely.
I know you don't mind talking ball. Taylor, you're going to be a regular, right?
Yeah, I'm always around.
All right, sounds good. I appreciate it. Overtime's next. It's the Rod Peterson Show on this Wednesday morning. Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital Ford Lincoln. With savings up to $19,000. And for a limited time, finance rates are as low as 0% on new and used vehicles. Plus, most new vehicle purchases come with a free set of winter tires. And buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the Greatest Auto Sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bust down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's Greatest Auto Sale.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back, everybody, for the overtime segment brought to you by Emerald Water, tea refresher.
You want to keep having that chat with Jim? That was good. I like that.
About where we're going on our sports trip?
When you come in, it's the conversation. Finish the conversation.
No, we'll do it now. We don't know where we're going. I can finish it right now.
Exactly.
We're talking about the Houston trip next week. And Anita Sagal, the Houston Astros assistant GM from Regina, was going to come on our live show from Houston West End. And then it's turned out that she's traveling now with the ball club on ball baseball business. So she now can't come on now. So we're talking with Jim about who's going to be on. He wants to know where we're going to go next year on the trip. And he'd like to go on the trip. But we don't know where we're
going. Where should we go next year? I don't even know.
Can we get one out of the way?
Yeah, let's get the first one out the way.
Actually, that's one of the funnest things about these sports trips, by the way, and we're taking a lot of people down to Houston, is sitting around shooting the shiza, talking about where you're going to go next year.
And yes, and I've only been on one, so I was only there last year. But the fans and the people on the trip sometimes dictate where we go next.
Of course. Well, why wouldn't they? They're paying to go.
Yeah.
So,
Very cool.
It's all fun. Wayne, this is Sean in Saskatoon, writes in. He says, oh, are we in OT now? Great to hear the CEBL got a long-term deal with the CBC. Yeah, I'm really loving what the CBC is doing here, carrying the Vanier Cup. And now the CEBL, that's the basketball league that the Saskatchewan Rattlers play in. They're going to televise their games one game a week, and all 70 games streaming. I love what CBC's doing. And we all watched the Vanier Cup. Kudos to the Dinos again, which I did put in a word to Clark. I said, I want Wayne Harris Jr. on the show.
We're working on it. He's going to come on. He's great. I mean, and the demons they've exercised, that's pretty cool.
Big time.
Big time.
Lots to talk with him about. Poll question. Leanne writes in and says, where should we go next? Can we just get through Houston? And then we'll decide where we're going next. Another wonderful thing about this new show and this new life is we could go in the summer. We could go in the fall. We could go in the winter. We could go whenever the hell we want.
Yeah.
And wherever we want.
And we will.
And we will. The Sports on Tap for the Tap, which, by the way, you'll see the Hobsons at the Tap today for lunch, it sounds like. We sent them with gift cards.
Yes.
Sports on Tap for the Tap Pub and Brew House. The Pats are at Lethbridge tonight. They open up their Central Division swing. Pats 4-4-2 in their last 10. I read the game notes. Hurricanes really on fire, right?
Oh, yeah.
Saskatoon Blades, your Blades, are at Tri-City.
Not on fire.
They're struggling out west.
They're having a tough U.S. trip, as everybody does from the east, but they're having an especially tough U.S. trip.
The Edmonton Oil Kings are at Kamloops tonight, taking care of business in Kamloops. Spokane is at Everett tonight, Victoria at Seattle. There was one game in the SJ last night. Kindersley downed Yorkton 3-2. Did I tell you how much I enjoyed being in Yorkton last weekend?
I bet.
What a happening little town.
Yeah.
It's actually not little.
No.
It's bigger than Swift Current. They got a lot of pizzazz in Yorkton, a lot of chutzpah. Mm. Tonight in the SJ, Battleford's is at Yorkton. And by the way, the Terriers are the Stars' kryptonite. I think the only losses that the Battlefords have had this year are to Yorkton.
I love that.
What?
Well, when you have that and you have some adversity and you get a little bit of the rivalry going with a team that's not maybe your traditional rival, Battlefords and Yorkton, fired up.
Flin Flon at Notre Dame tonight and Kindersley at Melville. Tyler, our social media advisor. Is that what he is?
Yeah.
Writes in and he says, maybe if the CBC can get NLL, National Lacrosse League as well, they'd be back in the conversation as an actual sports media platform. That's up to the CBC. Do they want to be a sports media platform? I'm not sure that they want to be. This is an awesome step that they're going to be carrying CEBL games. Absolutely outstanding. CBC, available to every television in the country.
It's the biggest network.
Lee Genier, the president of the Rattlers, texted me yesterday. He's over the moon with this deal. Maybe we should get Lee on. Because I congratulated him on it, but maybe we should get them on. It's a really big deal.
Huge. It's a massive deal, for sure. And to be a part of those broadcasts last year and get onto CBC online is great.
Oh,
but now they're going to pick up the big games in the national network. That's really cool. That's awesome.
Mark Lee, who called the Vanier Cup, is a regular viewer of this show, by the way.
Wow.
Did you hear that, Clark? I said, we got to get you on, Mark, and he gave me a thumbs up emoji. 16 Olympics, he's called. That's all. Just 16
no
Olympics.
No big deal.
John Heaps writing in. He says, early bird pricing at Deer Valley Golf Memberships is December 14th. Great price, greater course. Yeah, Deer Valley is a proud partner of ours. We're proud to be with them here at the Rod Peterson Show. You passed me a note.
Oh, yes. Just in the last segment.
Do you want to read it?
Well, we got a couple of graphics, so you can go ahead. The CFL announced the league all-stars today. Just within the last 20 minutes or 30 minutes, it was out. So we've got a list of them because there's a lot. But we had the East and West all-stars. I thought this was already announced, but here's the league all-stars now. So here's the offensive all-stars.
These are all Canadians, as they say it.
Yeah, so... Of course, the quarterbacks, Cody Fajardo, running backs, William Stanbeck of the Alouettes, the receivers, Brandon Banks from Hamilton, Reggie Begelton of Calgary, Brian Burnham, BC, Shaq Evans of the Riders, and Braylon Addison in Hamilton, the linemen, the center, Dan Clark, the Riders, the guards are Shane Bergman of Calgary and Brandon Revenberg, how you say it, from Hamilton, and then the tackles, Stanley Bryant from Winnipeg and Chris Van Ziel from Hamilton. And the defense and special teams is the next one. Willie Jefferson and Charleston Hughes are the ends. Dylan Wynn of Hamilton and Almondo Sewell of Edmonton are defensive tackles. And the linebackers, Simone Lawrence, Henoch Mwamba, Derek Moncrief. the defensive backs, Trey Roberson, Winston Rose, Greg Reed, and Richard Leonard, and the safety, Tunde Adeleke.
Yeah.
Did I get that right? And the kicker, Sergio Castillo of BC, Richie Leone's the punter from Ottawa, and Frankie Williams from Hamilton, the special teams players. And that sheet I had you just was that, I think it says Hamilton had 9, Saskatchewan was next with 5, and for Charleston Hughes, I think it's his...
6-time All-Star.
6-time.
That's why I don't like to see Charleston going off on Twitter on the haters, because it's like, Charleston, you're going to the Hall of Fame anyways. You got your rings. You got your All-Star nominations. Leave the haters alone. Or the snubs. Or the snubs for Defensive Player of the Year. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Charleston, he's setting records. People are not going to remember how many times he was an All-Star. They're going to remember that he led the league in sacks for 4 straight years. Maybe 5 coming back next year. That's what I would like to say to Charleston Hughes, and I guess I just did. Tomorrow on the show, if you want to know why this is the best damn sports show, tomorrow we got Darren Dreger of TSN, Kelly Rudy of Rogers Sportsnet, Robert Vanstone of the Leader Post, best-selling author, and an all-around great guy, and the Silver Fox, Kelly Rempel. Also, Tim Reed from Everaz Place coming in, the president of Everaz Place over there, to talk about some exciting things going on over there. On Friday, James Wilder Jr., really big CFL name, and potentially next a big NFL name, John Scott. He's just big, let alone big name.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the John Scott. And I appreciate our mutual friend Barrett Croft, the head coach of the Trinity Western Spartans hockey team out in Vancouver, for lining that up. We all play on the same team. Dave Naylor will be on with us Friday, and John Frenzy. So again, if you want to know why this is the best damn sports show.
Cooking. I want to give Vanstone a plug too, because he's coming on. I saw he's going to be in Saskatoon tonight for his book signing, and then tomorrow in Regina doing his book tour. So if you want copies of his book, because they're going like crazy, I guess. He's having a good time with the book. So wanted to plug his book signings tonight in Saskatoon, tomorrow in Regina.
Metal Shingle Guys writing in Prairie Mobile text line for our friends at Prairie Mobile. They are your SaskTel authorized dealer. Tell them I sent you, with locations all across the prairies. Metal Shingle Guy says, each team gets a mulligan. You can run it over 5 years. He's talking about the CFL coaches salary cap that we got into with Jim Hobson. I don't care that you get a mulligan. So you got one. What happens when you want to fire the next guy? You should be able to run the team however you want. And I'm with Jim, and I'm actually with Randy Ambrosi in that. I see why it was brought in, but I think it's far too restrictive.
Yeah, I think
on
so.
The teams.
I think so too. And a big thing is, as you and I have talked, with CFL personnel, like team personnel, they're not really sure what the cap is. There's not a clear they're not really sure the ins and outs and if they're safe, if they're not, and what the details are. This is people who are running football teams and on sidelines that you and I have spoken with. So there's a lot of clarification needed in the offseason, a lot of information that needs to be delivered.
Yeah, that falls back on communications.
Unfortunately,
And the thing that bothers me is, we get asked this kind of stuff on the street every day. People write it on the Facebook wall, the text line, Twitter, with questions about this. We don't know the answers to these things. Hell, the coaches don't even know the answers to these things. The GMs don't know the rules. And frankly, to me, that's on the CFL.
It very much is. And that's how, and I've started to learn, you know, winning at life, winning at sports, winning at all the business. At the end of the, it's kind of like a board game. But you can't win at the game unless you know the rules and the strategy. You need to know that, and then you apply your strategy and win the game. So the teams need to figure out, and they need to be delivered all the information.
Needs to be communicated better.
Has to.
The CFL. Clark has reminded me to go over the poll results before we go off the air today. And the poll question is, where will Jason Maas resurface in the CFL? That's for Capital Auto Mall, Universal Collision Center. 48% of you saying he'll land up with the BC Lions as maybe head coach. They already have an offensive coordinator, by the way. Oh, see what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Ottawa, 21%. 15% of you say he'll be with the green and white. 16% say others. So that's the news of the day. Jason Maas fired by the Edmonton Eskimos. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Thanks for tuning in today, making today an outstanding show. We'll see you at 10 a.m. Central on Facebook Live.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.